But basically, they just tell people, just laugh at them, they'll go away. Just laugh at them, they'll go back into their house, and they won't impact their world. Okay? So it's important that you look at that. We look at some of the evidence here. John F. Kennedy, made a speech before the United Nations, and in that speech he stated this. This was September 25th, 1961. He was presenting to them the United States program. It was put together by the State Department of this country. Called in 1961, Freedom from War, the United States Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. And so to introduce that, before they brought the document forward, President Kennedy said this, "The program to be presented to this assembly for general and complete disarmament under effective international control would achieve, under the eyes of an international disarmament organization, a steady reduction in force, both nuclear and conventional, until it has abolished all armies and all weapons except those needed for internal order and a new United Nations peace force." Basically, Kennedy was saying all the nations should basically, we're going to try to evolve them to a point where they get rid of their weapons. All their weapons are turned over to the United Nations or are destroyed until the only weapons that the United States government or any other national government has are governments that are necessary. The only governments left on earth would be the UN Peace Force, this one military, and the only other weapons that each country would have would be weapons necessary to keep internal order. In other words, the only weapons that the American military should have is the weapons it might need to use on us, American citizens. But no country should have the weapons to use in foreign wars. Only the UN should have that kind of weaponry. The Freedom from War document that Kennedy was talking about, that the State Department put forward, talked about different stages of disarmament, and stage three states this. In stage three, progressive controlled disarmament would proceed to a point where no state would have the military power to challenge the progressively strengthened UN peace force. You know, when we look at Revelation chapter 13, one thing he's going to say about the people are saying about the Antichrist, who is able to wage war with them? Okay? So that's John Kennedy and then the Freedom from War document. By the way, I've got a copy of that document. If you would like to look at it, I can make copies for you. President George Bush, I voted for George Bush myself, I'll be honest with you. I thought he was the lesser of two evils at that particular time. But listen to what George Bush said. He actually signed this in August 1991, the National Security Strategy of the United States. He's talking about the Gulf War, and it states this. In the Gulf, we saw the United Nations playing the role dreamed of by its founders. I hope history will record that the Gulf crisis was the crucible of the New World Order. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, you know, Rush Limbaugh will admit, George Bush talked a lot about the New World Order, but he didn't mean by it what you say he meant by it. Well, what he's saying is, the Gulf War was the United Nations doing what it's supposed to do. Well, what did the United Nations do? It grabbed together the militaries from other nations, made one United Nations military force, and crushed another army. Now, granted, I didn't like what Saddam Hussein did, but I think if we should have went over there, if you think we should have been over there and Saddam Hussein needed to be stopped, then I think we should have done it with our boys. We should have done it under the flag of the United States of America. If it's important enough to spill American blood, then when we spill that blood, it ought to be red, white, and blue blood. Okay? Instead of getting together with a bunch of thug nations to beat up on another thug nation. See, our founding fathers did not believe that we should intervene in the affairs of other nations, not because they thought the other nations were too good for America, but they thought America was too good for the other nations. It's like, we give our people freedom. Why should we turn around and help one dictator get his people, help him regain his people and enslave his people all over again. Why should we help other countries? If the people want freedom, let them come to America, the land of the free. That was the view. And then it was basically, Founding Fathers said, I hope other nations pattern their governments after us, but we can only take care of our house. And that's what we're doing. And if other nations want to follow, that's fine. Now, if there's American interest involved around the globe, then our Founding Fathers would say, well, then we need to get involved. But it's the American government's job to protect American citizens. Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton, he signed Presidential Decision Directive 13, I believe it was back in 1993, which placed United States troops under foreign commanders in U.N. operations. Now, let me... I served 3 years in the United States Marine Corps, and I took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. I didn't take an oath to take orders from foreign commanders or to defend the United Nations, which doesn't believe in giving its people the freedom that our Founding Fathers believed in, that our Constitution stands for. By the way, when you don't like that, if you don't want to wear the UN patch, we find out what happened. We found out what happens. Michael knew. He got, I believe it was a dishonorable discharge, and I think it's still battling it out through the courts right now. Patriotic kid, was homeschooled all his life, born-again Christian kid, and so he was the only one out of his whole platoon that recognized, hey, wait a minute, I'm here to defend the red, white, and blue, not to wear a UN patch. Okay? Senator Trent Lott, who I believe is the majority leader now in the Senate, this is what he stated about Bill Clinton's directive. He stated this in 1993, the Clinton administration appears dedicated to sending the U.S. military into dangerous seas of multinational peacekeeping in an effort to elevate the status of the United Nations into a guardian arbiter of the New World Order. With a New World Army whose singular purpose is to enforce the whims of the arcane United Nations Security Council. So he didn't like it. He said, Bill Clinton's not anti-military. He's anti-U.S. military. He wants to turn the U.S. military into the U.N. military. Let me tell you what Al Gore said about the Gulf War. There were 15 Americans who died on April 14, 1994, by friendly fire in the Gulf War, and Vice President Al Gore extended official condolences to the families, and this is what he stated, of those who died in the service of the United Nations. Okay? Now, when he was questioned on that by conservatives, it turns out that his spokespeople admitted this was not something that he accidentally said off the cuff. This was a prepared speech. So he knew exactly what he was talking about, that our boys are dying in foreign lands in the name of the United Nations, and most of them don't even know it. Things are getting pretty bad. Things are getting pretty bad. Boutros Ghali, a former UN Secretary General, stated in his work, An Agenda for Peace, he stated about national governments, the time of absolute and exclusive sovereignty has passed. Now, maybe a lot of people consider Phil Fernandez a flake, but I think that presidents of the United States and senators of the United States are in the know. And I think that the Secretary General of the UN, the former Secretary General of the UN, is in the know. So if all these people are telling me that the United Nations is destroying the sovereignty of nations and is setting up a one-world government, then, you know, people sometimes will call people who hold the views I hold to as conspiracy nuts. I don't believe in a conspiracy. Conspiracies are things that go on behind closed doors. This stuff is plastered all over CNN. This is not going on behind closed doors. Nobody's trying to keep a lid on this. Apparently, they think that they've dumbed down the American population so much that they could talk about these things openly and we wouldn't even know. You know, in fact, most Americans would probably think, yeah, a one-world government sounds great. Sounds fantastic. Strobe Talbot was Bill Clinton's roommate at Oxford when they were Rhodes Scholars, and he became Clinton's deputy secretary of state, so real high up in the Clinton administration. He stated, but before his appointment by Bill Clinton, 1992, a Time magazine, he stated, within the next 100 years, I think he's being real conservative on his estimate there, within the next 100 years, nationhood as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. Let me ask you something. Do you think Thomas Jefferson or George Washington would have appointed a man who made a statement like that 1 year earlier? Do you think they would have appointed this guy to be the deputy secretary of state who believes that we need to merge into a one world government? The liberals' favorite, Mikhail Gorbachev, who, by the way, I believe he's supported by on taxpayers' money. In San Francisco, there's a former military base where the Gorbachev Foundation or whatever, some intellectual think tank, One World or think tank, he heads it up. And he goes around and gives speeches at colleges, probably makes $20,000-$30,000 a pop. But this was a 1992 speech. He lives in San Francisco. 1992 speech at Westminster College in Missouri, and this is what Gorbachev stated. What is emerging is a more complex global structure of international relations, an awareness of the need for some kind of global government, one in which all members of the world community would take part, is gaining ground. And, you know, I don't know. I do not go for my information by reading quotes of all these people that are saying the New World Order is coming on. What I do, I go and read the people who claim that it's a good thing. I mean, I'm going to the other side. Law enforcement, we would call it confessions. It's a public confession, and we're supposed to look the other way. The Christian church in America, those who call themselves political conservatives in America, we're in the mode, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Well, let me tell you, the church in Germany did that. And when the church gets out of the way, Hitler is always going to arise on the scene. The church has got to be the church. The church has got to condemn sin publicly and in private. And if we cease to do that, and another Holocaust comes down upon this country and throughout the world, if we cease to be all that God called us to be, then the shame falls upon us. Now, if we do all that God called us to do and it still comes down, you know, praise God. God will be with us in the midst of our sufferings. But those who want us to quiet down, I just totally disagree. It didn't work in Germany, and it won't work here. 1990 report on UN leadership, put together by Childers and Urquhart, recommended that the United Nations Secretary General be limited to a single 7-year term. Now, this is real interesting because the Bible teaches that in the last days, the end time world ruler, the Antichrist, will sign a 7-year covenant with the many, with the masses, with the people. And if they start a 7-year term, the first Secretary General, UN Secretary General, serving a 7-year term could very well be the Antichrist, and that could be the 7-year covenant. But whatever the case, the evidence is out there. I think it's tremendously obvious, and it just amazes me that so many people want to look the other way. Look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. See, when people are coming around saying to you, you know, we need a one world government, all they want is peace, that sounds nice, but it's not nice. What they're saying is we can get peace without Jesus. Okay? What does that bumper sticker say? No Jesus, no peace. That's the way it is. You can't have peace without the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 9:6, that means spiritual peace, peace with God, but also political peace as well. Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And so he's referred to as the Prince of Peace, because peace comes only through him. Look at the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there arose loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. When Jesus returns and brings the kingdom of God to earth, then we will have the peace that man so desperately longs for. And then take a look at Revelation 19, 11 to 16. Revelation 19, 11 to 16. And that reads, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The way Jesus is going to get peace for this planet is he's going to return and he's going to carry a bigger stick than anybody else has got. And he's going to enforce peace through his strength. You see, the only way to get peace in a world of sinful men is to have an absolutely perfect, all-powerful, all-good leader who enforces peace through his strength. Okay? Now, our liberal friends do not like that. They don't want the totally just, the all-holy God to return and to sit enthroned in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem and rule over the entire world. But that's the only way this world is going to get peace. Okay, the UN says we need world peace, we need a one world government, but then they tell us by the year 2040 we need to keep the population at this level. Well, it turns out we're almost at that level already. So between the year 2000 and 2040, the UN is going to promise us peace, but then try to cut the world's population in half. I don't like the world's idea of peace. It just doesn't sound right to me. You know, there's never been a war, by the way, throughout the history of mankind that has ever cut the world's population in half. The Bible teaches in the end times, the last 3.5 years before Christ returns, more than one out of every two people on the planet Earth will die. Okay, by the way, less people are easier to control. Be a lot easier to control all the people on Earth if you cut the population in half. But basically, man cannot bring peace to Earth. Only Jesus will bring peace to Earth. Man-made ideas of man-made global peace, that is an abomination before God. It might sound nice on CNN, but it's an abomination before God. It's going right back to the Tower of Babel. Now, I want us to look at Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Just going to give you a brief overview. My question is the United Nations and the New World Order, is this the future kingdom of the Antichrist? We're going to see some very interesting parallels here in this chapter. And it reads, and he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, 10 crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, that's Lucifer, Revelation 12:9, gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So this end-time world leader, an end-time world government is going to have its power from Satan. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain. And his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. So you have basically a false resurrection. So that it appears that this guy rose from the dead. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, then he goes into the temple, the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem, which is yet to be rebuilt, and proclaims himself to be God and demands that all mankind worship him. Okay? Verse 4. And they worship the dragon, they worship Satan, because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, that's the Antichrist, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him? The United Nations confiscates all the weaponry, and if they are the only ones that have a military in the end, the big question is going to be, well, who's able to wage war with the United Nations? Verse 5. And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. So for 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. That is a one-world government. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Skip down to verse 11. It talks about his right-hand man, an end-time world religious leader, the false prophet. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. And he performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. You know, I don't know how you can give life to the image of the beast, but all I know is, we got a computer that is one heck of a chess player right now. And so with computer technology, God only knows what man can accomplish. I think we're reaching that stage. Now nothing will be impossible for man to do. So God's going to say, well, it's time for me to intervene. And the next intervention is the return of Christ. So what does the false prophet do? He institutes the mark of the beast. Verses 16 to 18. This is what world government... And with the tech, by the way, ancient world governments, they were bad. But wait till we get a modern one world government. With the technology that we have heat sensors that can tell where you are behind tons and tons of concrete. With modern technology, freedom, I mean, the government can monitor every step you take. Verses 16 to 18, they're talking about the false prophet, and he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell. Complete economic control. The two things that I talked about, complete economic control over the entire world, the control over those who buy or sell, and then earlier, who can make war with them? Almost complete military control. On the last days, believe me, there's going to be some crazy wars, which leads me to believe that a few nations like Russia and China are going to withhold some of their arms, and literally all hell is going to break loose on the planet Earth. But anyway, he causes all to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. And by the way, the universal product code today is on a 666 code, and then there's enough digits for each person on Earth to receive his own individual number as well. I personally think it's going to be through microchips that the end time mark is going to come out as, and that technology is here. Tony Van Loo, I told you about it a couple weeks ago. He gave me this June 1997 magazine called Computer Source. These guys don't care about the Bible. All they care about is computer technology. And he starts out, this guy, William Van Winkle, titled his article, Strange Horizons Under Your Skin. William Van Winkle, and this is his first paragraph. He says, a man sits in a... He paints a picture so he'll catch your attention. A man sits in a holding cell deciding. He is the last human without an implant. That network chip wired into the brain's base. So it'd have to be in the forehead area. He cannot exist in virtual space nor conduct any financial transactions. You don't get the microchip, you can't buy or sell. He has no history except in his primitive natural mind and no social identity. In short, he cannot function with the rest of his species, and he must either adapt, accepting the government's implant offer, or die. He feels himself torn and cannot choose, even when he hears the approaching footsteps. And so it's basically, you either accept the mark or you put it dead. By the way, Revelation 14, 9 to 11, and then the guy goes on basically to talk about that technology is here. And he says, there's a lot of people afraid of Big Brother, so they're holding it back. But it's here, and look at all the good it can do, is what this guy is arguing for. But Revelation 14, 9 to 11 tells us that anyone who accepts the mark of the beast will be damned to the eternal flames of hell, which basically tells us it's a condition for accepting the mark is worshiping this end-time world dictator. But basically, you know, the UN and the New World Order could be the future kingdom of the Antichrist. Now, the United Nations likes to talk about nations as separate nations, but they still want to control the economy of all those nations and the military power. But a lot of people will say, well, if they're separate nations, it really would not be a one-world government. Well, with the one-world government in Zechariah 14, verses 1 to 5, when Jesus returns, it says all nations invade Jerusalem. They invade the nation of Israel. So you have, in the end-time one-world government, you still have something recognized as separate nations, even though ultimately they're all submitting to this one world government. That is, except for Christians and the end time Jews, who will be persecuted by the Antichrist. And so basically, now in closing, what should our response be? Turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. By the way, as soon as I'm done, we're going to have to vacate the building. We're supposed to be out of here at 12:30. Pastors have a tendency to talk a lot. Italians have a tendency to talk a lot. When you combine the two, you're in a lot of trouble. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Basically, our response should be that we should hate the evil world system. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that means God loves all the people in the world. Okay? But when the Bible tells us that God hates the world and Christians should also hate the world, then what it's saying is that we should hate the evil world system ruled by Lucifer. And that's what the New World Order is all about. We should hate the evil world system. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and James 4, 4. Look it up when you get home. Number two, the evil world system, that's the god of this age. The god of this world is Lucifer. We have to oppose his work, even on the political level. Number two, we've got to continue to share the gospel. Jesus said that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and he came on the Feast of Pentecost. And he indwells us, and he empowers us. to do the work of the gospel. The gospel message talks about in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's words with power. And we need to continue to share the gospel. Matthew 24, verse 14 tells us that the gospel message will, not might, will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. And by the way, most major missions groups are targeting the year 2000. They're trying to work together and trying to get the gospel message preached to all nations by the year 2000. When Billy Graham preached to 180 different nations, he almost hit every one right there. But there's a few people. That's why New Tribes Missions that we support, they are preaching the gospel message to tribes, learning their languages. They don't have written languages. Learning their languages, translating the Bible into their language, and giving the gospel message to nations that have never been preached to before. Share the gospel message. Number three, we should vote wisely. If you're not going to vote wisely, don't vote. Okay? If you're just going to vote for the guy who talks the best and looks the best, I'll tell you, man, it's getting to the point where if you're a good leader, it's almost impossible to be a good politician and figure out how to win a race. Vote wisely and pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Paul says, pray for our leaders that we may live a tranquil life. Number four, we need to educate others. Not just in the gospel message and how to live the godly life, but also on biblical principles for human government, which, by the way, our founding fathers summed up in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, probably the second and third most ignored writings in this country today. The first most ignored and overlooked document is this book right here. The precious Word of God. God loved us so much, He wrote us a book. Educate others. Number five, do not trust human leaders. This might shock you. If people would say, Franz, you don't trust our government officials, you're anti-American. Hey, let me tell you, George Washington didn't trust his leaders. Before or after the Revolution, he didn't trust his leaders. Some people wanted to make him king when we won the Revolution. And he responded, God forbid that we repeat the mistakes of Great Britain. No man should have that kind of power. But our founding fathers did not trust human leaders either. The Bible warns us, Psalm 18, verse 6 and verse 8 and 9, do trust in the Lord. Do not trust in princes. Okay? And I don't know. Today, we need to submit to the governing authorities, but we still need to recognize the governing authority is not the ultimate authority. The ultimate authority is God and His Word, and we have to judge the government authorities by God's Word. And then finally, trust in Jesus alone. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Finish it, somebody. And He will make your path straight. That's right. I just couldn't think of it. Okay, Titus 2:13, and we'll close with this. This is the hope of the church. Okay? The hope of the true church. This is the hope right here, Titus 2:13. Not the United Nations. Not Gorbachev. Okay? Gorbachev is not my blessed hope. The UN is not my blessed hope. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. That is the only hope that this earth ever has. The United Nations, the New World Order, the kingdom of the Antichrist, that's just a lousy counterfeit that's going to cause more damage than good. There's only one hope. There's only one Lord. There's only one King. And His name is Jesus. Let's close with a word of prayer. And then if you guys could, you want to close? Okay, there's going to be no song. We're just going to close in prayer and then have a mass exit.